And it is a beautiful start to the day on this Tuesday morning. Lots of sunshine. We'll get up around 80 degrees or so. Complete details in the forecast again coming up in just a few minutes. As you heard in the news, Governor Whitmer will be holding a press conference later this afternoon. No advance word on what she'll be discussing. But our next guest is hoping to hear her reverse her decision regarding COVID patients or suspected COVID patients in nursing homes. He is Congressman Paul Mitchell on the line with us right now. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. You wrote a letter and had several of your Republican colleagues from Michigan sign it as well, asking the governor to reverse her decision on allowing those COVID patients in nursing homes. Why?
Well, because at a minimum, almost 34% of the deaths that were experienced in Michigan were nursing home patients. We don't have the data on assisted living patients. Some investigative reporters in the Detroit area tell me that they believe the numbers, as they look at them and they're gathering them, as much as 40 to 50% of the deaths in Michigan have been folks in, that were patients in nursing homes, residents in nursing homes or assisted living. We know that older people with health conditions are far more susceptible to the coronavirus, to dying from it, than anything else in the population. And we need to do the best we can to protect them and certainly not put people back in nursing homes that may well be carrying that virus until we can clear them. There are options there that need to be considered for that. We've asked the governor to look at the data, to go through the data. Frankly, Paul, the governor says the data drives your decisions, but in this one, she doesn't want to share the data with anybody. And that's unfortunate because we need to do the best we can to protect people that are most vulnerable to this virus.
What are some of the options for the elderly that are diagnosed with or suspected to have COVID?
Well, an option was put forth by the nursing home operators, the healthcare operators, to put them into vacant nursing home facilities that they had. There are hospitals in the Metro Detroit area I spoke with that were trying to pursue, to get the state to pursue a waiver that they could keep them in the hospital until they cleared them in terms of any potential ability to transmit the coronavirus. Both those options were denied by the state, declined to do that. And in fact, the executive order insists that they go back to the nursing homes in which they came from. That's what her executive order says, despite the fact that the guidance from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid indicated that those patients should not go back unless the nursing homes can provide a safe manner in which to do that and provide the level of health care and isolation that was needed. It clearly wasn't the case in our nursing homes. Let's accept that reality, understand what the data is telling us, share the data, and let's come up with a better plan. Now, the governor does have a task force to look at it, but in the interim, that data is still not being shared.
You've been critical of the governor's response to COVID-19, particularly her use of emergency powers, in fact, to the point where you filed a federal lawsuit against the governor. How's that progressing, Congressman?
Well, the lawsuit, we're going to have a hearing. She's tried to, the governor's legal representation has tried to have the lawsuit dismissed. I don't believe she's going to be successful. My concern is not that we need to protect citizens from the risks of COVID-19. It's shutting down the entire economy to do that, when in fact the data was very clear from Korea, from Italy, that we knew that older individuals with serious health conditions were so much more at risk for this, and that needed to be our focus, was protecting those folks and then minimizing the spread within reason while we also kept the rest of the world operating. It is a virus. It is going to spread. We're seeing it now in states that originally didn't have much spread with it. However, the last data I saw in the coronavirus on a consolidated basis, the odds of dying from COVID-19 is 0.25%. That's the reality of this virus, and about 0.1% die from the common flu, despite the fact we have Tamiflu and flu shots. Yes, it is a risk. It is a huge risk for seniors that have health conditions.
Well, and that's the concern, is that this is going to spread to seniors. You look at the example of the bar in East Lansing, Harper's, where there were several young people that contracted coronavirus. They've traced it to that bar, and now they've fanned out across the state, and the count is now over 100. I don't know if or how many of those that it was passed along to were, you know, in that vulnerable age bracket or medical condition bracket. But that's the big concern in spreading this, isn't it?
It is a big concern, and that's why both people going to visit in nursing homes, assisted living facilities need to be screened for the likelihood of having COVID-19. They need to do, when they have an outbreak like they have at Harper's at that bar, to have a contact trace, so they can find individuals who may have been exposed, advise them so they can quarantine, so they don't go into nursing homes, they don't go into assisted living facilities, and further spread that. We need to get this aspect under control so that people are not taking that into those environments, and move on to the next thing. We also, frankly, have to deal with getting our public education system and child care back up and running, so that people that with children have options to educate their children and go back to work, because that's going to become a real pressing issue by fall. Already is. It's going to get worse.
I want to switch gears real quick while we still have time. The latest firestorm in Washington is a report that U.S. intelligence believes Russia was paying a bounty to renegades with Taliban ties to kill U.S. troops in Afghanistan. And the big question is, why wasn't the White House briefed on this, or was the White House briefed on this, and why hasn't anything been done? A lot of questions around that. As a member of Congress, Congressman Mitchell, what are your concerns in hearing these reports?
When I saw the report, I served on House Armed Services Committee, as you know, Paul. I contacted the ranking member, Matt Thornberry, about getting a briefing. There was a briefing for some limited members, a couple of ranking members and senior folks yesterday. I spoke with Mr. Thornberry yesterday afternoon. We are going to press for a briefing for the full committee here quickly, because a classified briefing. What is clear to me is that while there's some conflicting information, whether or not on the validity, the veracity of that intelligence existed. And it's also clear to me, to be honest, that that intelligence was part of the president's daily briefing, the book, his daily book. Now, it is a book. It's, I don't know, 60, 70 pages of information, but I understand it was included in there. Either the president, the vice president, or the chief of staff were not briefed orally or in any discussion about that intelligence that was thrown in there with everything else. So my question is, why the intelligence community not conduct a full briefing for the president, the vice president, the chief of staff, the joint chiefs about, okay, this exists. We don't know if it's entirely true. What are the next steps? How do we deal with this? And to the best I can find so far, that wasn't done, and I don't understand why. It's not acceptable.
No, nor does anybody. I mean, that's concerning, isn't it?
It is concerning when a foreign country decides to. It's one step short of them taking a shot at our soldiers, and you know what that means. So there's no explanation that makes sense to me as to why that is the case, and that's why we are going to pursue that with the intelligence community. We're going to pursue that further with the White House as to why it is that. That information was also not shared with the committee. I have a security clearance, and read that information in the New York Times is you can imagine does not make me thrilled to get it from the newspaper rather than from the intelligence community.
The president's been largely silent on this issue. What should the president be saying about this?
Well, I think there's the president should say that he will address this issue with Russia. Not everything needs to be done in some bellicose. I mean, it's kind of funny. People complain about the tone and things that Trump does say, and when he doesn't say anything, they complain too. Discussion with Putin about what the intelligence may be saying seems to be in order. The content of that, my guess, would be somewhat direct. And we're, frankly, kind of a polite way to put it on your show. We're not going to put up with that crap. And you need to make sure this doesn't happen again. There are repercussions. We can undertake them. We don't want to. Please don't do this. We need to talk. That needs, you know, some things need to be happening through private consultation and private conversation. It doesn't need to be on the evening news or on someone's blog or, you know, but make the point that we're not real pleased and you really don't want to mess with us. I think that needs to be made, and sanctions against that group that that in fact is involved with that outfit called GRU. They're an interesting subcomponent of intelligence in Russia.
We'll be watching to see how it plays out. It'll be very interesting. Congressman, we always appreciate your time. Wish you a happy 4th of July, a couple of days early. It'll be a different kind of Independence Day this year, won't it?
It sure will be. I taped and I encourage everyone to watch it. It'll be on my Facebook page. I did a 4th of July video that reaching out to everyone throughout the district. I want to wish everyone a happy 4th of July. I hope they enjoy it with their families and are careful in terms of who they enjoy that with, wear masks in stores and things like that when they're out, and take care of themselves. We'll be fine if we do the right thing.
All right. Fair enough. Congressman, thanks a lot. Appreciate it very much.
Take care, Paul.